Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me. But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord.
Well, I have to start off tonight's sermon by confessing that I had no idea how many of you drank Mountain Dew. And to firmly state from this pulpit that it is not a sin to drink Mountain Dew. You can drink Mountain Dew if you so wish. But thank you so much this morning for your nice comments about our thoughts together. We have a granddaughter, as you know, we've told you before, that's a runner, and we're really proud of her. She's done a lot of things nationally. She's set five school records and more than anyone that ever has in McKinney High, Junior High. But and we've got some good athletes here. Some of you are running. I know that Eliza Ball does because she just had a track meet Friday here, so and there's some other of our young people here that may be track runners. I enjoyed running. That was the way it helped me go to school. I got a scholarship in track and enjoyed running. Tonight I want to talk about a runner. I want to talk about Jonah. The only problem with Jonah was he just didn't know which way to run. It seemed like he was always running. But a lot of the time, most of the time, in fact, he was running in the wrong direction. We'll talk about Jonah. Jonah's name meant dove. Of course, we associate dove with peace. Back then, even more so than now, the meaning of a name had a lot to do with parents giving that name to their child. I would suppose perhaps that Jonah's mother gave him that name in hopes that maybe one day that he would calm a tempest. Instead, he caused a tempest. Jonah's name, Jonah was one person that didn't live up to his name. Talking about that, I think about the name Christian that we wear. And I wonder sometimes if God thinks we're living up to our name, Christian as well. But one of the things we see about Jonah is that he deviated from God's desires for him. You know, an interesting truth about the Bible, which even makes it more true, if that's possible, is that God doesn't withhold the shortcomings or the mistakes of even his great characters in the Bible. David, great king, great character of the Bible, yet God tells us about his mistakes. Moses himself, we hear about his mistake. Didn't get to go into the promised land. Abraham, a great man of faith. We know he told a half lie. He said that his wife was, Sarah was his sister. And actually she was his half-sister. So is that a half lie? Can you have a half lie? Anyway, God tells us even the failings of some of the great people in the Bible. And Jonah's one of them. Jonah was a prophet of God. And God gives Jonah this command. He wants him to go to Nineveh. So the first thing we see in this running man, Jonah, is that he was running away from God. That doesn't work. It didn't work for Jonah, and it will not work for us. But anyway, let's go back and just review the story that you know so very well. Our children know it. They sing the song, who was swallowed by the whale or fish? What's the song? Man, I'm just not on key today. Well, I blew the Mountain Dew thing, and now I can't even sing the song. Anyway, it is a song, and our kids do sing it. But Jonah was given a command of God to go and preach to Nineveh, and he doesn't want to do it. There's a reason why. Because Jonah knows that Nineveh is the capital city of the Assyrians. And the Assyrians were at this time some of the most warlike people that there were. And some of the things that you read about the Assyrians are horrible. They did some inhumane things to the people that they had captive, and they had done so to the children of Israel. And so Jonah just cannot even believe that God wants him to go preach to Nineveh. For one thing, he doesn't want them to repent, because he doesn't want them to have the salvation that God wants to offer them. But, who are we to make that kind of decision? Whose soul is not worth more than all the world? And whose soul is not worth making an effort to save? But nevertheless, God's command had put Jonah on the spot, because if he does go to Nineveh, and if they do repent, he's not going to look really good in the eyes of the children of Israel. So Jonah is being torn apart by this peer pressure. And there's not any of us that doesn't have that. We often attribute that to a teenager. But there's not any of us that doesn't feel that pressure. And I look around us today, and I see that more and more how this world is pressuring us to be like them. And it gets tough sometimes, and I know that. It really gets tough on the job to be different. It gets tough at school to be different. But Jonah finds that he's having a tough time with that. And the one thing that Jonah's going to find out is that running away wasn't the best response to this. We know of another man that found out that trying to hide from God is not the way to go. I think about the one talent man who dug into the earth and hid his talent when his master came back to give... take an accounting. The one talent man tries to appeal his case by saying, I didn't take it. I just didn't use it. You remember what the one talent man was told? You wicked and slothful servant. You can hide in God, but you can't hide from God. So the Bible says that he went down to Joppa. Now, in case you wonder, that's in the opposite direction of Nineveh. And it's kind of ironic how it says that he went down to Joppa. Topographically, that's Joppa was down from Jerusalem. But it also figuratively fits the situation. Because when we're trying to go away from God, we're going down We're not going up in the right direction. So it says that Jonah went down to Joppa. Wrong direction, wrong boat, wrong people, wrong purpose. But anyway, he goes down to Joppa and he finds a ship there that's going to tarnish. Now, again, this is kind of ironic because ships didn't just sail every day. But whenever he goes down there trying to get a run away from God, the devil makes sure that there's a ship waiting for him. And if you want to disobey God, I can absolutely guarantee you that the devil will do everything he can do to accommodate you. If you want to disobey God, he'll give you that opportunity every time. Well, he gets on this ship. He pays his money. What he's going to find out and what he learned and what very often sinners learn is that the price that's paid is way too high. It says that it was more than he expected it to be, literally in money, but it was way more than he expected it to be. I think about how that, again, David, and his sin, kept having to pay and pay and pay. One thing about sin is it costs you way more than you want to pay. I think about the prodigal son. His story is one who characterized a runner away from her. As he tried to get away from the father and his restraints and old home place, only to find himself later in a hog pen, paying way, way, way more than he wanted to pay. So Jonah pays his fare and he goes out and he gets on this boat. What he is coming to learn is the omnipresence of God. God is omnipresent, which means that he's everywhere. He was in Joppa. He was in Nineveh. He was in Jerusalem. He's the God of a thousand hills. Where do you go, David said, to get away from God? Can you climb to the top of the mountains? Behold, thou art there. Can you descend to the depths of the sea? Behold, thou art there. Can you say to the darkness, cover me and hide me from the eyes of him with whom I have to do? And even, David said, the darkness is as light unto thee. There is no place that you go to flee from the presence of God. And Jonah finds this out. And in Jonah chapter 1 and verse 5, we find out that he gets on this boat. He goes to sleep. There's a raging storm. Later, the sailors come to Jonah and they ask him, do you know why we're in this storm? We can't row to land. It's getting worse and worse. And Jonah says, it's because of me. He knew what it was. Because of me. And they say, what shall we do unto thee that the sea might be calm unto us? And Jonah says, take me and cast me into the sea so that the sea may be calm for you again. And so they take him and they throw him into the sea. But God has prepared this great fish. And so this fish swallows Jonah. So the next thing we see in this running man is, after having run from God, now all of a sudden Jonah gets very, very religious. So now we see him running to God. And Jonah in the belly of the fish begins to pray fervently. You know, there's an old saying, there are no atheists in a foxhole. Well, I think that would also apply to the belly of a great fish. And Jonah prays fervently. That brings to mind another who learned to pray in a bad situation. I think about the rich man in Luke 16 who lifted up his eyes in torment. And oh, how he prayed. It says fervently he prayed. Asking that Lazarus just be able to dip his finger in water and touch his tongue. That couldn't be done. And so he prayed that somebody would just be sent back to his brother so they wouldn't follow him there. And that couldn't be done. Oh, how he learned to pray and his prayers were too late. Time to pray is now. But Jonah becomes very religious. Now he's ready to do what God told him to do. So God causes the fish to throw him up on the shore. And now we see the running man running again. He's run from God. He's run to God. And now we see him running with God. Because Jonah does indeed go to Nineveh, to this wicked, wicked city. And Jonah preaches to them, repent, or in 40 days you will be destroyed. And to his great surprise, the Ninevites respond and began to repent and turn to God. Perhaps they had heard about the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah and how the power of God had destroyed those great, great cities who were much, much larger than Nineveh. Whatever it was, their hearts were touched and their hearts were pricked. And they responded to God. Maybe like those on the day of Pentecost who heard Peter preach this same Jesus whom you crucified. God hath made both Lord and Christ, seated him on the right hand of God. And it said, and they were pricked in their hearts and cried out, men and brethren, what must we do? Only to be told, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So now this running man is running with God. But as the children of Nineveh turn and repent to God, this disappoints Jonah. Isn't it a shame that Jonah would be angry and disappointed that a nation had responded to God? But he was. So running from God, running to God, running with God, but now we see him running ahead of God. Jonah goes out and he has the biggest pity party you could ever imagine. He goes out and he's angry and he's mourning and he's weeping. In fact, he says to God, take my life. It is better for me to die than to live. And God causes this gourd tree to spring up overnight. And it shades him. And then the tree dies. And Jonah weeps for this gourd tree. And God says to him, do you have more compassion for a gourd tree than you do for the souls of men? There are so many that are going to be lost. Some may be because we just didn't take the time to talk to them. We as Christians have been given a commission to go into the world and preach the gospel. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be condemned. But our world starts with our front door, inside our house, really. Starts with those that we have influence on. There are people that would listen to you. If you invited them to come to church, they would listen. They would come for you where they wouldn't for me or someone that they don't know, someone that they don't have a trust or an association with. We find a great opportunity coming up in just 2 weeks with friends and family. That gives you a great opportunity to say to a friend, would you come to church with me? We're having a special day. We're setting a goal and trying to reach that goal. The goal, of course, being immaterial. The point being to invite our friends and family. And so what an awesome opportunity you have right here to show that compassion, that concern. And who knows, maybe the person you invite might be just looking for something, some kind of stability in their life, some kind of hope that they don't have right now. And maybe they can find it here. And your casual invitation, come with me to this Sunday service, might just be the seed that needs to be planted that will grow into an obedience that might save their souls. Don't be a Jonah. Can't run from God, we know that. Certainly need to run with God. But let's don't run ahead of God. Let's certainly don't be one that runs away. Our responsibilities are here as Christian. Serve Him, and be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give thee a crown of life. You're running. You're running tonight. Where are you running? From God, to God, with God, ahead of God. If we can help you, would you come while together we stand and sing?